Support for this KQED podcast comes from Walmart Labs, based in Silicon Valley. Powered by its own open source technology, Walmart Labs engineers code in an agile DevOps environment. Learn more about engineering and big data positions at walmartlabs.com.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, San Jose City Council approved a settlement deal this week on Measure B, the pension cutbacks that sparked a bitter three-year legal battle with police and firefighter unions, and that contributed to the departure of public employees from the city. We'll talk about the deal, what's next on the horizon of pension reform efforts, and what other cities might learn from San Jose's experience. Join us on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. San Jose was the first city to attempt significant pension cutbacks to current employees in the face of dwindling city revenues. In 2012, nearly 70% of voters approved the high-profile Measure B, touching off 3 years of legal battles with police officers and firefighters who felt their hard-earned benefits were being unfairly attacked. This week, San Jose City Council approved a settlement that will essentially invalidate Measure B. And in this hour forum, we'll talk about the agreement, look back on the fallout from the measure, and what it could mean for a statewide ballot proposal that would require voter approval of public employee pension increases. Joining us now are Detective James Gonzalez. He's Vice President of the San Jose Police Officers Association. Welcome, Detective James Gonzalez.
Thank you.
Also with us is Garrick Percival, Associate Professor at San Jose State University and Director of the Institute for Public Affairs and Civic Engagement. Welcome, Garrick Percival.
Thank you very much.
I'd also like to welcome the Mayor of San Jose, Sam Liccardo.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. And I'd like to start with you. So, you know, Measure B originally gave city workers the option of switching to a lower pension plan or contributing more to the pension plan that they have. What's going to happen now with Measure B?
Well, we're agreeing with our police and fire unions to go through a legal process that will essentially replace Measure B with a new set of pension and retiree health care benefits. We're going to get the savings that we need critically in the city, over $1.7 billion over the next 30 years. But we're also going to ensure that we've got a competitive package of pay and benefits for our current employees and for new hires. In the meantime, we're going to go back to the voters in November of next year, and we're going to have the voters formally, regardless of whatever happens in the legal landscape, because we know that the court process is uncertain until we have agreement with all 11 unions. And so we'll go back to the voters and ask them to replace Measure B with a set of provisions that will prevent any retroactive increases in pension benefits or any increases in pension benefits without their approval.
And you mentioned $1.7 billion. I mean, how does that compare to the savings you sought through Measure B?
Yeah, no one questions that we would get more savings if Measure B were fully implemented. Of course, the legal landscape has been shifting quite a bit. Portions of that measure were upheld. Portions of it were struck down. So it's far from clear exactly what savings we could get when all the appeals and were done. When we get to, you know, ultimately this whole thing would end up probably in the California Supreme Court many years from now. What we know we're getting now is about 80% of the savings that we would have gotten in Measure B in the Tier 2 pension benefit, about a little over $1.1 billion in savings just there alone. We're getting savings in retiree health care that we would have never gotten in Measure B because both sides agreed that this benefit is too costly for employees and for the city. And so we're essentially closing a defined benefit program for retiree health care. That's going to save us almost $250 million over the next 30 years. So in some ways, we know that we're not going to get the same savings. In other ways, we're getting new savings. And that's good news both for employees and for residents because we ultimately want a sustainable system that we can afford and that will ensure that employees get what they're promised 30 years from now.
And I imagine that's the basis of your message to the 70% of voters or so who ratified Measure B back in 2012?
Yes, we're certainly going back to the voters next year, so the voters will have every opportunity to ensure that we supplant Measure B with protections going forward. But at the same time, both the employees and our residents are going to get the benefit of this bargain.
You know, it was such a nasty fight. It's a three-year-long fight. You've had city employees leave. You've had police officers leave and seen your police force dwindle. I guess I have to ask you, has it been worth it? I mean, would you have championed Measure B the way you did, knowing what you know now?
Well, leadership, in the words of Abe Lincoln, is pretty straightforward. I may walk slowly, but I never walk backward. I'm certain with all the information we had available in 2012, after 9 months of negotiating, knowing that we had just laid off hundreds of employees, including 66 police officers, because we were out of money, knowing that we had lost over 300 officers before Measure B had ever passed, there were very difficult situations that we all faced. And I think we all did as best we could. And I do not look back and say we should have done differently, because we simply we had a different set of circumstances then. What we have today is a different legal landscape. We have a change in leadership, I think, at the union, which has been much more pragmatic, much more collaborative. And we've got, I think, a collective recognition on all sides that it's not us against each other, that we are collectively facing challenges in the math. That is, that these numbers were very daunting, and we had to collectively come together to find a way to tackle them.
So then, what's your message to other cities that might be considering similar moves? I mean, they have all been watching this closely.
Certainly, I'm grateful that we had the people in place, circumstances in place that enabled us through a lot of hard work and negotiation to get to an end result that I believe is a very positive for everyone. And I'd encourage everybody to take the negotiation path whenever possible. On the other hand, I think the circumstances of 2012 are difficult to compare today. And I know there's a lot of revisionists that are busily doing the revising, but I also know that we are racing against what we all considered at the time a fiscal cliff, knowing that if we didn't get some kind of reform in place, we would again lay off hundreds of employees, and we simply didn't want to go back.
But should cities pursue pension cutbacks as a main ways to try to shore up, you know, budget gaps?
We all know that, you know, what we're hearing from CalSTRS and CalPERS and others is we're going to see a significant ratcheting up of contributions, required contributions from cities, from school districts and others to pay for these benefits in the next half decade. I'm grateful we were able to come to an agreement with two of our 11 unions, and we've got to negotiate now with nine more, to enable us to have the savings. I believe that will enable us not to have to engage in any of that. But other cities are going to need to go through those very difficult conversations as well. And it takes both courage and it takes a spirit of collaboration to get there.
San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And I'd like to now go to Detective James Gonzalez. Detective Gonzalez.
Yes.
Yeah, so you just heard the mayor right now. He mentioned the deal that he made with police officers. Can you just give us the broad outlines of what police officers will get in this agreement?
Sure. Police officers are going to get a pension that they were promised. Back in 2012, there was kind of a pitting of city employees against an issue that really didn't have two sides to it. Pensions needed to be adjusted, and we certainly wanted to do that, but we really didn't have a partner on the other side, in our opinions, to do that. We beta tested Chuck Reed's version of pension reform here in Silicon Valley. I mean, we're the home of innovation, and it didn't work. But what did work is sitting down collectively at the table, tackling these really difficult issues, and being able to come up with a competitive pension for our officers and firefighters that still saves billions of dollars. We really are the model for other cities to copy around the state, but not what we did in 2012, what we did here in 2015.
So the deal offers a cheaper health plan. It gives existing employees, you know, an 8% raise plus a one-time retention bonus. What did the union give up?
I think when you talk about what we rolled back was from what current employees had. When we had pensions that had 90% caps on them, we knew that those were unsustainable and those needed to be rolled back, and that's what we did. We also looked at a lot of areas, like the mayor said, that with retiree health care that Measure B didn't even tackle. In a lot of ways, retiree health care costs are outpacing the pensions, and that was something that we took on, were able to come to agreement on and achieve millions and millions of additional dollars besides just the pensions.
Do you think your members would have agreed to this deal prior to Measure B?
Yeah, you know, we had several rounds of negotiations prior to the Measure B going on the ballot. We made an offer that's not unsimilar to what we have now to the city. And in addition to that, we offered that our current employees would opt into a legal pension plan, or we would take pay cuts from everybody to equal a pre-designated amount of savings. After that, the previous city manager engaged with the first round of settlement talks a year ago, and there was an additional offer that was not dissimilar to what we have now. I think certainly the deal that was negotiated this year is a lot more complex. It took on a lot more other issues like retiree health care. But the police and fire unions have twice offered a significant rollback and a deal that, like in our opinion, is not terribly dissimilar to what we have today.
The department saw its ranks dwindle, I understand, from about 1,400 officers in 2009 to about how many today?
We've got, just over 900 officers on the street today from 1,400. This is a time where our city continues to grow. And we've seen just the detrimental effects that becoming non-competitive is, and not being able to compete in any field is going to have these effects of people going to where they are paid and benefited better. And in San Jose, we saw that with the police department, and of course that's going to be one of the core services that's going to have the biggest effect on our communities. And it's been detrimental. We saw increases in crime. Our response times have gone through the roof. And, our message to everybody is don't let Chuck Reed do to California what he did to San Jose. We're all coming together now and seeing that this was the wrong way to do it, and our city has really suffered.
Do you think this new deal will then be enough to bring the officers who may have left back or, attract new officers?
Absolutely. We have already heard from our officers who wanted to come back. Our officers didn't want to leave. But part of Measure B stripped the disability protections for police officers, and when they come to work and do a dangerous job, they need to know that that there's those protections for them and those families. So in addition to monetary things, there's those kind of fundamental moral tax that we have with our police officers and firefighters we removed too. Now that those have been put back, and we have beginning to increase pay, as well as have a pension that is competitive, yet scaled back, people are already in the process of coming back, and we really do believe that there's a significant amount of people who feel that this deal remedies the problems that they left, and that we're going to have a lot of them coming home.
Well, Detective James Gonzalez, I know I need to let you go. Detective Gonzalez, Vice President of the San Jose Police Officers Association, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Let me tell you who is joining us for the full hour. We have Dave Lowe. He's chairman of Californians for Retirement Security, which represents 1.5 million public employees and retirees. Dave Lowe, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We're also joined by Carl DeMeo, former San Diego City Council member, who has filed a statewide ballot initiative aimed at reforming public worker pensions. Hello, Carl DeMeo.
It's DeMeo, but thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. And also, I mentioned earlier that Garrick Percival, associate professor at San Jose State University and director of the Institute for Public Affairs and Civic Engagement, is with us. Thanks for being patient, Garrick Percival. I want to ask you, if I could, Sam Liccardo mentioned that this will go before voters in 2016. How do you think this will go over with them in San Jose?
Well, it's important to keep in mind that 2016 will have a different electorate than we had in 2012. The Measure B was placed on the ballot in June of 2012, which is the primary election, and always has lower turnout than the general election. The other thing to remember, too, is that now we're going to be, by that time, 4 years on the economy continues to improve. I think a lot of the pressure that had been built up from the Great Recession will have continued to decline, which can affect, you know, people's willingness to make dramatic cuts. If they feel like, you know, they're getting the services or services are improving. So I think it's going to be important not to, you know, make a lot of, you know, assumptions about how the electorate's going to vote.
Well, let's look back a little bit at the history. I mean, where was San Jose when this emerged 3 years ago in terms of its pension obligations?
Well, it was staring at, you know, the abyss. I mean, it was like many, many other cities around the country and in here in California, which, of course, cities have a very difficult time raising revenue because of Prop 13 that was passed in the late 70s. And San Jose is particularly hurt by that for a number of reasons. So, you know, it was staring at, you know, depending on who's making the assessments, but, you know, anywhere between $2 and $3 billion of an unfunded liability. And so pensions as the overall, what I describe as kind of the budget pie had been shrinking because of the recession, that kind of every dollar that the city has to spend becomes increasingly important, and how that dollar is spent and who gets it, who benefits it, and so forth becomes that much more contentious. And so that's kind of the scene that we saw, you know, 4 years ago.
And I hate to do this too, but just briefly, I know it's such a varied history for Measure B, but if you could just quickly remind us sort of the twists and turns it took along the way.
Right. So, well, the financial crisis hit in 2007 and 2008, and that wiped out, you know, a lot of things. People weren't working as much. They weren't going out to eat. They weren't buying as much. That affects things like sales tax revenue coming in. Property values were declining somewhat, although we weren't hit as bad here as other parts of the state. So when you have declining revenue, the city, you know, has less money to spend. And so on top of that, you have this other major force, and that is increases in benefits to pensions, which many of those deals were struck in the 1990s, especially the late 1990s, when the economy was going very strongly. So you have on, you know, the double whammy of increased benefits to try to attract and retain workers on top of dramatic decreases in revenue. And so, you know, a budget in some ways is very simple. You've got revenue and you've got expenditures. And when that gap grows, you've got a real problem.
And Measure B gets passed. It gets challenged in court. A judge invalidates a portion of that measure.
That's correct. And, you know, this issue particular, I think, is a great example of, you know, one of those issues in politics that are one of the most divisive, something we call, you know, redistributive policy. And that is when you're taking benefits away from one group and using it for some other purpose. And that is almost a guarantee for conflict. And we saw that here firsthand in San Jose. So, you know, on top of that, in our system, we have, you know, the courts and we have, you know, different branches of government. And anytime, you know, when we have a separation and decentralized system like we have, lots of people have a say. And these things take time. There's a lot of ways to try to prevent things from happening, and that's exactly what we saw in the Measure B.
We're talking with San Jose State University professor Garrick Percival. Also with us, as I mentioned earlier, is Carl DeMaio. And Carl DeMaio, you are actually championing with former Mayor Chuck Reed a statewide ballot initiative aimed at pension benefits. Could you describe that ballot initiative for us?
Right. And I think people need to understand the facts. The facts are that government employees in the state of California are receiving retirement benefits far, far in excess of the hardworking taxpayers who are footing the bill. And whenever there's a stock market downturn, the taxpayers are left bailing out the government pension programs, and that's cutting into services. We have fewer library hours, fewer fire stations, fewer police officers, and we have cuts in education, all because money's being diverted to prop up these pension payouts.
So what are you proposing?
Well, last year, let me, again, define the problem first, because you know, you have the unions and your last guest saying how it's redistribution of wealth. It's not. It's curbing abuses. 41,000 state and local government employees last year who were retired cash checks from the pension system in excess of $100,000 a year. We've seen pension payouts reach almost $1 million. In San Diego, we have a city librarian who's cashing $234,000 in pension checks each and every year. So the notion that this is redistribution of wealth, no, it's about curbing the abuse of taxpayer money in these government pension programs. What do we propose?
Yes.
We propose in our initiative to ensure that the government employees receive an accountable level of retirement benefit, no better and also no worse than the hardworking taxpayers footing the bill. The best way for us to do that is to take the backroom deals that the government unions pitch with their political allies, like the invalidation of Measure B in San Jose, and take it out of the hands of the politicians, put it in the hands of the voters, because we're the ones paying the bill. So our Voter Empowerment Act does that. But certainly any level of reform is welcome in the state.
Oops.
Literally are seeing their services cut so that we can prop up $100,000 plus payouts to state and local government employees.
So, as you said, voters will be required to approve pension benefits for new government employees.
Right, and it would end any sort of backroom deals to spike existing pensions. And so this is really what we're trying to do is really fix the real problem. The problem here is not the individual government employees. You know, if you were told, hey, here's the deal, of course you would cash the checks with a big smile on your face. The problem are these government union bosses who go behind closed doors after they elect politicians from both political parties, Democrats and Republicans, and say, okay, now that we've given you the campaign cash and put you into office, here's the payback. We want to get these big, generous benefit packages, and you'll do what you're told. And so we've got to fix the political problem that we have in this state of backroom deals with the government union bosses and the politicians that they put in office with their campaign cash.
Dave Lowe, you're on record saying that you think this ballot initiative is a mistake.
A mistake, but it's a, you know, Carl DeMille's description is really inaccurate. It's a bait and switch. They say it's about just giving people the right to vote, but in fact, the initiative eliminates the vested rights of current employees. When you get a job and you're promised a pension, current law and the Constitution says that you can't have that taken away. This initiative takes that away and allows a cut in your pension in mid-career. It also eliminates pensions for new employees completely unless approved by the voters in every jurisdiction of the state, which not only eliminates pensions but also causes thousands of costly elections. And the initiative states in one section that it's not intended to eliminate the death and disability benefits of police and firefighters and other employees. And then in another section, it eliminates the very basis on which these benefits are provided, making it virtually impossible to provide death and disability benefits for police and firefighters. So it's a total bait and switch, and it's a bad deal.
Dave Lowe is chairman for Californians for Retirement Security. We're also joined by Carl DeMaio. He has filed a statewide ballot initiative aimed at reforming public worker pensions, and Garrick Percival, associate professor at San Jose State University. We're talking about San Jose's Measure B settlement and what it means for efforts to modify pension commitments in the state. Join us after the break. We'll continue our conversation on Measure B. This is Mina Kim. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're talking about the developments this week with San Jose's Measure B and new efforts to change the state's pension obligations. Let's hear from Dave Lowe and Carl DeMaio on this issue related to the statewide obligation. Carl DeMaio, you heard Dave Lowe say that, you know, this is really a bait and switch. California's economy is improving. Investment returns have been higher than expected. I mean, does that sort of fizzle a little bit of the energy in your plan?
No, not at all. Whether we have a strong economy or a weak economy, nobody believes that someone should be getting $234,000 as a city librarian per year in government pension payouts, or that a retired fire captain in L.A. should be able to get $960,000 in 1 year in pension payouts. It's outrageous, it's abusive, and it needs to stop. Our measure would do that. In addition, let me point out that last year the S&P 500 went up by 12.5%. It was a very healthy market. Do you know what the investment returns at CalPERS were? 2.4%. We found out yesterday that in San Diego, the investment returns were a paltry 1.8%. And so what does this mean? Just like the taxpayer-funded bailouts of the big bank CEOs in Wall Street in 2008, we taxpayers in California have to bail out these government pension programs each and every year when their investment returns do not match the rosy scenarios.
Dave Lowe, before I get your reaction, let me give our number out to our listeners. What's your reaction to the proposed statewide ballot initiative, to the latest in San Jose's pension story? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org. Post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. Dave Lowe.
So Carl DeMille throws out a lot of facts, many of them totally inaccurate. For example, he talks about the six-figure pensions. The fact is that only 2% of all the retirees across California receive $100,000 pensions. And Governor Brown passed a bill, the Pension Reform Act, that capped pensions at below $100,000 for all new employees. So that issue has already been dealt with. He talks about spiking, and the pension reform bill eliminated spiking. The fact is that he talks about education funding and other funding being cut. Since 2012, education funding has gone up by $25 billion since the passage of Prop 30. And as you said, the economy is recovering. CalPERS the previous year earned double-digit returns. And so, you know, the economy is improving. The pension funds are in much better shape. And Carl DeMille is trying to sell the voters based on a bunch of lies.
Kathleen writes, I think collective bargaining should be left to the employer and the labor unions. Doesn't federal law govern collective bargaining? I'm very concerned that the city council and the electorate are being burdened with something that is covered in federal law. Sounds like politicians are trying to do an end run around federal law. Why not work within the existing process? I'm very skeptical about continued references to San Jose running out of money because of pensions. In Silicon Valley? Really? John writes, it's very easy to attack the people who actually do all the work in the public sector for doing their poverty-level jobs to keep things running. However, how much do the lifetime perks of current and retired elected officials cost the public? How about taking a hard look at that? Kimberly writes, the average state employee retirement benefit is $2,737 a month. That's not a lot to live on, especially in cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles. And a lot of public employees and all teachers don't get Social Security. Their pensions are all they have. Public workers chose their careers and signed contracts that promised retirement benefits. Reed and DeMille's measure destroys those promises. Garrick Percival, this emphasis on pensions as a way for municipalities to deal with costs. You see, I mean, how do we get to this point where pensions became the target?
Well, it is, I think, one of the striking aspects of this whole issue is the relatively narrow debate that is happening, that because pensions have pension costs have increased in part for, you know, added benefits, but also lack of return on investments. But, you know, there are other factors, and I think that is, I think, you know, in terms of political victories, I think that's been one for the advocates those who are pushing for pension changes have done over the last several years is focus, you know, very much on this particular issue. But there are other things like I mentioned earlier, the fact that local governments have a hard time raising revenue and have for a couple of decades now. There was, you know, talk of maybe making revisions to Proposition 13 after the Democrats had supermajorities in the state legislature. That seems to have died down after they've lost that. But also just that cities like San Jose have a very hard time raising revenue because of, you know, trying to attract business to the city. There's a lot of subsidies that go to try to attract businesses. And so when they do come, they often don't bring the kinds of revenue that maybe was promised or what is needed to service the city. So I think that, you know, looking ahead as we move into this debate over, you know, the next year or so, that I think it would be helpful for voters to be able to get a broader sense of there are other factors that go into play here, not just pensions.
Dave Lowe, the Public Policy Institute of California says that nearly 60% of pension contributions to state retirement systems come from local governments here in the state, and that this is about 20% higher than the national average. What's your response to that?
Well, the fact is that the pension contributions come from three sources. One is from the employer. The other is from the employee. Every employee pays into their own pension, and many of the local government police and firefighters put a substantial portion of their paycheck into the pension fund. And then the investment earnings pay about 60% of the average pension in most systems. So, you know, we think it's a fair split. And locally, when it gets out of whack, we think the collective bargaining table is the place to fix it. Over 300 local jurisdictions have negotiated contracts to provide that the employees would pay more. As you've seen in San Jose, that they've given up retiree health care benefits. Employees are willing to come to the table and resolve the issues, and that's the right place. The way they did it recently in San Jose is the right way. The way Mayor Reed did it was the wrong way. And the way Carl DeMille is doing it now is the wrong way also.
Well, let's hear from our listeners. Let's go to Bob in Dublin. Hi, Bob.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I wanted to ask, in Mr. Reed's plan, according to Dan Bernstein of the Contra Costa Times, who is not someone that is an advocate of public employee unions, Mr. Bernstein said that Mr. Reed's proposal is really disingenuous because it will affect people that are in existing pension plans, and even though Mr. Reed said it isn't. I'd like some kind of response to that.
Carl DeMille.
Well, that's the union position, is that voters somehow are going to make decisions different than politicians. I actually find that refreshing. If the voters want to have accountable, sustainable pensions in the state of California, I trust them any day over some backroom deal made by a politician and a union boss, because guess what? Take a look at the crisis we're in. We have Mr. Lowe and the unions argue that everything is fine, but we're facing, according to the independent reviews of the pension financial systems, nearly $500 billion in unfunded liabilities for retiree health care and government pension costs. And so they've had their shot. They've been told that there's a crisis for the past 15 years, and they haven't fixed it. Things are getting worse, not better.
And would your measure, though, force all cities with their own agreements to change their agreements?
Well, no. As long as they go and they get the approval of voters for any enhancement of existing employee pensions or for new hires, they present their pension plan to the voters for approval. It's very simple. If voters want to continue to pay out higher benefits for government employees than the benefits that taxpayers themselves receive, so be it. But they should at least be given an opportunity to weigh in on this issue rather than having the politicians and the union bosses decide behind closed doors and cram it down their throats.
Frank in Mill Valley. Hi, Frank.
Hi. I'd like to kind of ask the panel or the contributors to discuss what I see as the rock and the hard place that frames this debate. One is the unrealistic returns that the politicians have been willing to pretend will happen. But the other is the legal constraints on changing existing pensions. It's my understanding that these rights are put into the are considered inviolate under the California Constitution. And so it's very, very difficult or illegal to try to change them. There have been some bankruptcies in other states, and this has gone up. How do you think that framework, if you agree it exists, affects the process you guys are talking
mm-hmm.
about?
Frank, that's a great point. Garrick Percival?
Well, the current California Constitution, at least the way that the courts have interpreted it, have suggested that things like what happened with Measure B, and that is cutting existing benefits, was a violation mm-hmm. of contract law. Now, the only way to do that, to avoid that, is to really change the California Constitution or get a different set of judges to look at the law. But I think on this area of law, there's a long history of legal decisions that have been built up over time. So I think that's what the initiative is designed to do is, we don't, the current environment is that it has been ruled that these kinds of tactics have been unconstitutional. And so, just like we do at the national level, if you don't like something, you can try to amend the Constitution. And that changes the ballgame.
And let's go to more of your calls. Let's go to Chris in Santa Rosa. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I just wanted to express my general support for the idea of the initiative. I used to be a city council member in a smaller community in the Bay Area. And in the 90s, in fact, my experience there was that that the city council members or board of supervisors or the other city elected officials in the surrounding communities were very eager or willing to go ahead and vote for fairly generous pensions or benefit packages because they would rather have the happiness and the harmony at the moment, and oftentimes we're willing to look 10, 20 years down the road and, you know, think about what the consequences of such a generous retirement package would be. So I think a measure like this is an important check that does let the voters decide if they really want to go ahead and, you know, if they want to absorb that cost. Because the reality is now you have communities that are actually taking on bond debt to continue retirement packages. So I think there is some real benefit to checking in with the voters.
Dave Lowe, what's your response to Chris?
The fact is that the voters now, if they want to go to the ballot and change things, they can. This initiative is not just about going to the voters, as I said, and as was just stated, it eliminates currently vested rights. It changes the Constitution. And, you know, we have tested these issues with the voters, and the fact is our research shows that the voters have no interest in taking away these vested rights, eliminating promised benefits to current employees. If it goes to the ballot, it will fail. Because it's not an issue that the voters are interested in taking on. Which
what,
is
I'm sorry. What some, poll did you do on this?
We did a poll on this ballot measure just to see, you know, where it tested
among your membership or
no amongst the projected voter turnout in 2016. And our poll shows that it fails miserably because when voters see that in fact, as the Attorney General stated, that it eliminates vested and promised benefits, they're not in favor of voting for it.
Carl DeMaio, you've done some polling as well on this initiative?
Yeah, absolutely. California voters overwhelmingly support pension reform. But when you have outright lies by the labor unions to try to say that something eliminates a vested benefit, something that someone's already earned, then people naturally have hesitation. And that is exactly their political playbook. They don't care about the truth. They care about defending the sweetheart deals that they've been able to get for themselves and their members.
Yeah.
And so this is why on this show and everywhere you will hear David Lowe take poll-tested lies and present them as truth when in fact it's not. We have a pension crisis. This is a reasonable reform proposal that time is overdue.
Garrick Percival, based on what happened in San Jose, based on the fact that municipalities have been watching closely what happens in San Jose, what do you think the mood is of the electorate related to an initiative like this?
Well, I think one of the first things to consider is that I think we need to be careful about how much voters are saying in these elections. I equate, you know, pension issues similar to how we might think of some of these very complicated, insurance reforms initiatives that we've had in California over the years. They're very complicated, and I think a lot of voters, not out of ignorance, but because people are busy and people kind of I think tend to throw up their hands and say, "I'm not sure what to do here." This is why we have elected officials to try to deal with these more complicated issues. So, you know, I'm not clear exactly, what the voters would be saying if this passes, because as probably both the other panelists would recognize is that, you know, the implementation of that becomes very complicated. And so that's the open question.
I guess, what do you think are the implications of what happened in San Jose, you know, with Measure B?
Well, I think the implication is, you know, this is whatever happens, that there's going to be a lot of conflict. And I suspect that, you know, the outcome of this initiative, there will be lawsuits. And this will not be the final word said on this. My guess, it will probably be a protracted, you know, prolonged rather fight. Going well probably into, 2020 or past.
Let's go to more of your calls. Let's go to Chuck in San Jose. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning. I just want to make some comments that, you know, Measure B was created due to, Chuck Reed said there was a fiscal emergency in the city of San Jose. Well, this $400 crisis we were in was a number off the top of the head. You can see it on NBC Investigates. So that was a lie. So Measure B was created on false truth. And as far as the voters, only 71,000 people voted on that. That's not the majority of a population of a city with a million people. So a lot of people lost money. They lost their homes. They lost a lot of things. I understand police and fire do have a better pension plan, but the rest of the employees, what they lost, I mean, they make an average of probably like $60,000 a year. And anyways, it was all built on lies. So to say that unions make backyard deep, I don't believe that. I believe that it was illegal. And when you take the oath, they promised you a package. And Chuck Reed tried to deter that package, and he lost $4 million of taxpayer money to try to do that because it was illegal. That's all I had to say.
Chuck, I appreciate the call. Let's go to John in Pacific Grove. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Wonderful program, very important. I'm just concerned primarily that the authors of this initiative don't even seem to understand what it means. And we are hearing from the Legislative Analyst's Office as well as the Attorney General that it actually would affect benefits for not only future but existing public employees, death and disability benefits, et cetera. So, you know, the place to do this is at collective bargaining. As Dave Lowe has said, it's tough. As the detective early in the show said, it's tough decisions that have to be made. But unions, that's what they do. They sit down with responsible administrators and work out problems of funding and sustainability. And this business of attacking public employees using arguments about they shouldn't have a better pension system than private employees, the taxpayers. They don't all have the same pension system. That's just baiting, really. It's disgusting tactics. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, John, thanks for sharing your thoughts. Carl DeMille, I'll give you a quick opportunity to respond.
Well, yeah, the unions keep saying, let's negotiate and let's do this at the bargaining table. But here's the problem with that argument. First and foremost, that process is what caused the pension crisis. All the inflated, unsustainable benefits, as well as all the payment holidays and other financial gains that the unions and the politicians were able to implement over the past 15 years. And since the crisis has emerged, they had an opportunity to fix it, and they have failed to fix it. $500 billion in debt is a lot of money. And that's why we have to turn the voters to actually impose reform.
But can you give John sort of the certainty that it wouldn't affect, you know, existing benefits?
Well, the reality is this. There are things that you can and cannot do under the law. I have never proposed that we change existing vested benefits that people have already earned. I believe that we can solve this problem by changing the system for new hires, as well as making legal changes for existing employees. It's not going to be fixed overnight, like turning around a battleship, but you have to start in order to have the turning radius to accomplish the goal.
We're getting a lot of emails and calls from listeners. One writes, it might be correct that not all the benefits should have been taken away from officers, such as disability, but that does not mean that officers and employee pay shouldn't be balanced with the ability of cities to pay for basic city services. If you're going to engage in 2020 hindsight, then you also need to recall the high number of officer layoffs and public city services that were cut during the Great Recession. Cities need to be able to budget for good times and bad times, not increase pay in good times to unsustainable levels and then mandate massive cuts to both employees and public services during bad times. Beth writes, I'm sick of corporate politicians attacking working families and spreading lies about how much pensions are costing the state and how voters should have the right to take it away. My pension is just that, mine. It's part of my salary, and no one has the right to take it away from me. Joe writes, they're alighting over the fact that they're overriding the will of the voters. What really happened is that the public and its representatives tried to cut the pay of police and firefighters, and somehow they got defeated in court. Why won't these public employees act like true public servants and accept the mandate of the voters? Just like my pay can go up or down depending on the time, so should theirs. Why do San Jose police and firefighters believe they're entitled to pay and benefits that are so much greater than that of other citizens? And let's go to more of your calls. Hugh in Oakland. Hi, Hugh.
Hi. I'd like to just point out that city services in Oakland have not been brought up to adequate levels. Different departments are still hundreds of millions of dollars in unfunded services. And many of us who come from civil servant families agree that city workers should be paid adequately and competitive rates. But by the same token, citizens should receive good government services. And the city of Oakland, for example, besides being unfunded in police, which won't be up to pre-recession levels in another 2 years, is way underfunded in city road repairs and parks and rec for our children. And yet they've already budgeted for a 5% increase in the current budget. So by all means, pay, city workers adequately and competitively, but let's do that after we get our basic good government services.
Thanks, Hugh. Sean writes, an earlier email said negotiations should be between the employer and employees. Given that the taxpayer is the employer with government employees, isn't that exactly what this proposal does? What's your response to that, Dave Lowe?
Well, what this proposal does is it says that the voters could write a ballot measure to completely undermine already reached agreements at the collective bargaining table. It says the voters now can increase or decrease compensation, retirement, or retiree health care, which is completely unprecedented, not just in California, but across the United States. It would throw collective bargaining basically out the window. You can go to the bargaining table, reach an agreement with your employer for a 2% raise, and the voters could overturn it and give you a 2% cut. Or the voters could go to the table and give you a raise that you didn't bargain for. It's a completely ridiculous proposal, and collective bargaining is completely moot if you're just basically letting the voters handle it.
And so, well, Carl DeMaio, what is next for the initiative?
Excuse me?
What's next for the initiative?
Well, obviously, the unions control state government, and they have a friend in the Attorney General who's willing to parrot their politically tested deceptive line that says that somehow we're taking away constitutionally vested and guaranteed rights. And so we've been commissioning a legal review because we intend to sue the Attorney General if necessary to force her to do her job and provide a legitimate, fair, and accurate title and summary.
The current title is what again?
What's that?
The title that the Attorney General has...
The title and summary is what you see on the ballot. And so what she has done is, because she's got the support of the government unions, she has misled the voter in how she describes the measure.
You mean in terms of calling it a constitutional change?
By saying that it eliminates constitutionally protected rights, she is misleading the voter. And that's the first line that she provided in 2014. It's the first line she provides in 2016. And we intend to deal with that through our legal strategy. But we're not going away. There is going to be pension reform in the state of California, and we have a number of avenues that we are going to be advancing with this initiative.
Let me try to fit a couple more calls in. Let's go to Mark in San Jose. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you? I've listened to this for so many years now and have seen the safety of San Jose be compromised over and over again. And if the voters should be deciding salaries and pensions, I would like to vote for Chuck Reed's pension to be withdrawn completely and Sam Liccardo's to be too. And every member of city council that voted for that measure that so few people in San Jose even paid attention to and were lied to, because I got it in my mailbox from both Ricardo and Reed and this gentleman who claims to be telling somebody the truth. I don't know who's paying for him. But why don't we get a chance to pay for or decide how much our elected officials are paid through the ballot initiatives? Why should we be interfering with an employer relationship where there's a contract involved? What's the appeal to people to say, oh, yeah, we need to go play around with someone else's labor contract because we have this unfunded mandate? Well, let's see how much the unfunded mandate is caused by the high-paid mayors and city planners and city managers around the state of California, because I think that's what we should look at. Who's behind the gentleman here that's telling us more and more lies just the way Chuck Reed did not so many years ago here in San Jose? We paid the price. We have more people dead. We have more people injured. We have more people property stolen. We have all kinds of problems here because of the lies that people believed then. And now they want the entire state of California to believe those same lies.
Carl DeMaio, do you just want to quickly talk about who's sponsoring or supporting your measure financially?
Sure. First, I'm going to say I agree with the caller in that the politicians should receive no better pension or benefits package. That's why our measure applies to them equally. Number two, I the first day in office in San Diego, I turned down the politician's pension because I don't believe that if I'm going to reform pensions in government that I should be benefiting from that system. I gave up $500,000 in lifelong payments for just 4 years on the city council. Gladly did so because I didn't agree that politicians should be receiving that level of benefit. And finally, we are a grassroots-funded organization. Our donors are completely public. And so this is a group of concerned taxpayers who are, they have had enough of having their tax dollars diverted to $100,000 pensions and have their services cut and their taxes increased.
Dave Lowe, last word to you. How should, you know, what's your reaction to what happened in San Jose, and how do you think people should interpret what happened there?
Well, San Jose was clearly a disaster. Even Sam Liccardo, who was part of the deal, has gone back and rewritten it to try to fix all the catastrophe that occurred there and the exodus of police employees, the high crime. You know, the fact is this initiative has no chance of passing as written. And if it were to go to the ballot, you know, the public employees, this is a big visceral issue for our members. And every time we've seen a measure like this go to the ballot, it's turned out the progressive base. We've seen it in Prop 226, 75, 32. Our people will turn out to defeat this. And it's just really a misguided measure that hurts the public and hurts public employees.
Dave Lowe is chairman for Californians for Retirement Security. Carl DeMaio is former San Diego City Council member who's filed a statewide ballot initiative aimed at reforming public worker pensions. And we were joined by Garrick Percival, associate professor at San Jose State University and director of the Institute for Public Affairs and Civic Engagement. Earlier, we were joined by San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo and Detective James Gonzalez with the San Jose Police Officers Association. I'd like to thank all of them for joining us and also to our listeners. Forum is produced by Irene Noguchi, Tina Lauerberg, and Susan Britton. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement editor is Amanda Stupai, and we get online support from David Marks and Natalie Yemenijan. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our interns are Latoya Tools and Jeremy Siegel. I'm Mina Kim. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.